This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
What o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Earlier today, we chatted with Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, part of the Chiefs radio network. Asked him about the wide receiver room, what has stood out, what's the best timing for a suspension for Rashee Rice, and also his perspective on Kingsley Suamataia in that left guard spot. That's coming up around 1:35 here on Cody and Gold. Don't forget, though, on Wednesdays, on Tuesdays, our lunch partner here on Cody and Gold is our friends over in Waldo.
Of course, Bo Rue over in Waldo, where you're like, Taco Tuesday, Bo Rue Asian Eatery. Yeah, it's not tacos, but it is bao buns, the fluffier Asian taco. Head down to Bo Rue in Waldo, grab a bao bun for just $2.50, or switch it up with some ramen or sushi while you're there. Summit Hospitality Group, proud partner here of Cody and Gold.
Let's talk about the Royals a little bit. Seth Lugo is on the bump tonight, and he has been great all year up until the last three starts. The last two outings, he's given up 7 runs. In August, 12 and a third inning, 19 hits, 16 runs, 10 walks. That's an 11.07 ERA. Some of this might just be a bunch of innings on a guy's arm, and it's August, and it's hot out, and he's wearing down. They insist, he insists, nothing is wrong in terms of actual injury. In terms of actual injury. We've already talked today about, hey, you're right in it now. You're 3.5 back. You got 3 teams now that are all level in the wild card spots. You're not chasing, you know, the Rangers anymore. You're in front of them, but you're in the middle of a big 4-game series. I don't even need Seth Lugo to be what he was in April and in May. I don't even need that. But it cannot be these 4-inning, 6 earned anymore. Would you lock in 5 2/3 and 3 or 4 runs?
Probably.
Based on what he's been the last couple.
I don't know that I'd lock it in, but I'd probably get close. The problem is that if you and I are to fully buy in and say, this is a playoff team again, that does not happen without Seth Lugo returning to form. Hell, had he returned to form sooner, they might be in a playoff spot. That's the whole other part.
And Reagan's rehab apparently is getting closer and closer. He's starting to throw a little bit.
I'd say it's 4, either below average or straight up bad starts. It's 2 horrible starts in a row. And they won the first 2 when he was pitching below average. So to your point, Gold, going 5 2/3 and allowing 3 earned runs, which he did 4 starts ago, they won that game 9-6. 3 starts ago, he went 4 2/3. Not good enough, but only allowed 2 earned runs. They won that game, Gold. He walked 4 guys, had no control, but they still won that game. He didn't let them get away. They've lost his last 2 starts in which he's given up 7 earned runs and 6 earned runs. I don't know how, but they almost won the game in which he gave up six earned runs. They lost that game 7-8, remember, and they came from behind and almost won. They need regular Seth Lugo. And you don't have to go that far back in the time machine for when he was pitching really well. He was pitching really well at the beginning and in the middle of July. He then lost it and never really refound it the rest of the way. He is a very important player for them. Cole Reagans probably isn't coming back till the beginning of September or the end of August. And Noah Cameron, the rookie, cannot be the guy who carries your rotation by himself. Like, they've got other guys pitching okay, but Lugo is far too important. And there aren't enough games left for him to just lay eggs. So tonight feels like a big game for him because he's coming off those two. It feels like a big start for the Royals. Win or loss.
Yeah.
And it feels like a big start for Seth Lugo.
And as someone from the 785 point on the text line too, you're in a crucial stretch of four against the Rangers, and then you got the Tigers, and then you have the White Sox, and then I think it's the Tigers again or something like that. You know, you need to make sure your bullpen's available. Urseg and Estevez pitched last night. I mean, you don't want to get to a point where with two games to go in the series, let's say tonight he only gives you 3 1/3, then you're using all your bullpen tonight. Yeah, you might win, but you're going to use all the bullpen tonight.
Then two more against the
Rangers, and then, yeah, a huge series against the Tigers. Not huge because I think they're catching them in the division, but every game is massive, especially against American League teams at this point.
Especially against winning teams in the American League and teams that you would expect to lose series against. You want your full complement of players available to you before the Tigers series. Yes.
I know we've been praising Noah Cameron, and he deserves it. He's been awesome. I still think if we said the most underappreciated player, it's probably Michael Wacha still.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, just from an underappreciated, Noah Cameron,
by fans,
we're saying that Noah Cameron should get more love nationally, but here everybody is giving him appreciation. Michael Wacha across the board might just be like the guy
that just quietly does his job.
He just does his thing. And sometimes we just forget. Well, we forget he exists.
He has a 3.34 ERA, and if you would have told me it was a half run lower or three quarters of a run higher, I would have probably believed you. I had to look it up. 25 starts, most on the team, 142 innings, and a 3.34 ERA. He's been phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Last year in Kansas City, 3.35 ERA and 29 starts. He has been borderline an identical pitcher each of the last 2 years, start after start. So credit where it is. It wouldn't be Noah Cameron alone. But at some point, you're going to have some down offensive games. You're not going to score 5.5 runs a game forever. And Lugo, in particular, because they've been without Reagans, has been the pitcher letting them down lately. Like, they could have had, they could be even closer to a wild card spot if he had just been okay. Like, in that start where he gave up 6 runs and they lost that game 8-7, he could have just been okay that night, Gold. And the way the Royals were hitting, they still win a baseball game. But he was straight up bad, and as a result of that, they lost a game. Almost single-handedly. I understand they blew the game late, and they had opportunities, and they had a million base runners in that game. But when your starting pitcher gives up 6 or 7 runs, Gold, it's like the odds of you winning that game in any circumstance, no matter, that's just probably pretty low to go with it. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not saying this is a make or break, because I see the people in the text, which I think is crazy, calling the extension already bad or saying he needs to get it together so he can go to the bullpen when Cole Reagans comes back. I'm like, are we there? Because I'm not Lugo to the bullpen. That's nuts.
He needs to pitch better, but the extension was not just about not trading him this year. It's about having him in your rotation as one of the anchors for 2026, when this organization once again is going to be expected to compete for a division title and obviously the postseason. So yes, if he continues to pitch poorly and he starts next season poorly, then we can have a conversation saying, whoops. But because of 4 or 5 bad outings when he otherwise has been sensational
for 2 years,
does not mean the extension is bad. Is it just terrible timing for optics? Sure. He gets an extension and then
he pitches back.
Unfortunately. That sucks. I mean, it does. It's not great for anybody. I'm sure he's not thrilled about it. And I'm sure the Royals are like, well, son of a, you know, but it does not mean the extension is bad yet. Let's see how he finishes the year. Let's see how he starts next season.
Up to when he started pitching poorly in August and then part of July, up until he had started pitching poorly, he was like the single most successful Royals pitcher who had made like 60 career starts or 50 or more career starts. He had like a 3-point earned run average in like 50 career starts.
I wonder if...
And as of, let me see.
Yeah.
July 19th, still had a sub-3 ERA. As of July 19th, still had a sub-3 ERA. Then it went 303, 306, 346, 377. Up until those last two starts, he had a 306 ERA. I had no problem with Seth Lugo. I still don't have a problem with Seth Lugo. What's funny about tonight is I think it's a big start for him. Unless he is hurt and he just doesn't, or tired, and he doesn't want to use it as an excuse publicly, if he isn't, and at his word, he is healthy and okay, I expect him to start well tonight, and that is just a blip on the radar.
I don't know if it's the blister thing again. You know, again, we can only go off of what they're claiming and telling us publicly, right? And right now, they're saying everything's fine, because I know the blister was a thing, and at one point, they acted like, basically, it's not going to get better until he doesn't pitch.
Yeah,
you know,
little things can bother you.
And so, I don't know what the reason is. If they had the simple solution to it, obviously, it would happen. But to your point, you know, if he goes out there and pitches well tonight, I think everybody can take a deep breath and calm down a little bit. And then we'll see what happens with Cole Reagans at the end of the month.
Yeah, that's the other part. What do they do about Cole Reagans? What do they do about Jack Caglione? Let's just call it September 1st for both. It's got to be interesting. It's going to be really
some roster decisions too.
Interesting. Well, Michael Massey's too floating around there. What do they want to do?
I think they have till the 29th on Massey to like make a determination.
So around that same time, September 1st, they got to make calls on Massey, Cole Reagans, and Jack Caglione. Cole Reagans is an easy one. He's going to be in the rotation. Just is what it is. We don't have to think too much about it. Massey and Cags are tough because they weren't playing well before they went on the injured list. And the people who are currently playing in the lineup are playing okay or really well. Like Yaz seemingly is just going to do nothing but lead off home runs for this team every night.
I wonder, Noah Camara, we just got done saying how great he's been. Yeah. Noah Camara is going to be tricky because let's not forget, he is still pitching more innings than he ever has in his life. And so I know we're like, oh, you can't limit anything. He's pitching so great. That's where, for those asking, like, how do they get everybody in the rotation? That's how, because they might need to skip. If this team is trending towards the postseason, they may need to skip a Noah Cameron start. I know we don't want to see that necessarily because he's been great, but you also want to see, can he be available and pitch well if you get to the postseason or down the final week of the regular season? I don't know. We'll ask JJ Piccolo. That's a good question maybe next week for him, because Noah Cameron clearly he's pitching more than he ever has in his life. And so when does that become a problem? Not only for his own health, but effectiveness down the stretch.
I'm also just afraid to ask the question about, like, what do you do when you have too many starters? Because I think right around the time I asked that question this year,
Luca
got hurt, Reagans got hurt, Lorenzen got hurt, and they had to trade for multiple starters because they didn't have anybody. Right now, their options to start when Cole Reagans come back are him, Noah Cameron, Ryan Burgert, Michael Lorenzen, Seth Lugo, Michael Wacha. Now, here's the thing. Wacha is a lock. Reagans is a lock. I think just as long as Noah Cameron, and he says he's fine, is a lock. So then you start being like, I mean, I don't really want to take starts away from Ryan Burgert. Lugo's a lock. So it's like, am I taking Lorenzen and Burgert? Or do you go six-man rotation? Teams have done this multiple times a year.
It just usually sorts itself out.
Or does Burgert?
Something's going to happen.
Yeah. Either someone's going to get hurt or someone's going to pitch bad enough in a start that they're like, hey, man, we still want you to be a starter. But for the rest of the year, Ryan Burgert, Michael Lorenzen, whoever, you're going to go to the bullpen for a little bit. And you're going to dominate out of there for us instead. I'm not worried about it. They still got 2 weeks before it's even like a question, really. That's why they're going to slow walk Cole Reagans. The most impressive thing to me is they had a million injuries in the pitching staff. And for my entire life, one of the things in the Royals were the absolute worst at in all of baseball was pitching. Couldn't find it to save their life. Mm-hmm. They have covered it, considering the losses, pretty well. They have covered their starting pitching missed innings.
The best thing they
pretty
do right
damn
now.
Pretty damn decent.
The best thing they do right now is finding big league talent, evaluating big league talent pitching. Bailey Falter's been disappointing, right? But Burgert, going back to the Cole Reagans acquisition, going back to initially signing Seth Lugo, right? Going back to signing Michael Wacha. In terms of their big league evaluation with pitching, not developing hitting, that's a concern. Pitching development and then also tweaking a few things. The guy that they see in another organization, like, oh, we can fix this, and the results show itself, like it did for Cole Reagans, like I think we're already seeing with Burgert. That's what they've been, and that's Brian Sweeney, that's other guys in the organization that deserve credit for that. That's my least concern, is their ability to, at this point, actually to develop or at least
identify
starting pitching, you know. And even the bullpen now has been better this year. I know that a lot of it has been some veteran guys more than young guys, but, you know, Steven Cruz is intriguing. And then Angel Zerpa, it's not consistent enough. There's flashes for him, but he's someone that's frustrating, I think, at times for fans.
That's bullpen arms, man. Yeah. I still point out that HDH ruined the collective mind of Kansas
City. Oh, even look at Carlos. Look at Carlos Estevez. Career high in saves. Cash that ticket.
People hate him.
32. He got it. 32 and an all-star.
But when you start looking at, let's go to the other side of the league. Let's go to the NFL, which is what, just now a few weeks away? 2 weeks from Friday will be the Chiefs' opening game in Brazil. Is that right? Yeah.
September 5th. 2 weeks
on Friday, right? That can't be right. Or maybe it's three.
I thought it was three. Are we already down to... I thought it was 20-something days still.
But yeah, we are 2 weeks.
Two weeks from Friday? 2.5 or 2 weeks?
2.5 from today.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
Once Friday hits, it'll be 2 weeks.
2 weeks from Friday. That's crazy to think. Good.
Opening NFL season. Are all the quarterback battles done? So Joe Flacco got named the starter in Cleveland.
Daniel Jones got named the starter.
Is there any chance that the New York Giants... will just not make me watch Russell Wilson play for the entire year and give us some Jackson Dart instead?
I like what I've seen from Dart. Now, the stats aren't like crazy. He's not like he's, you know, been going out there in 18 to 20 for 200 yards and two touchdowns, but he looks the part. Like, it's, sometimes it's that simple early on. Like, he looks the part and it's preseason. I get it. And he's playing also with twos at times. But he looks composed in the pocket. I actually been a little impressed with Jackson Dart. But to answer your question, no, Russell Wilson's going to start week one, and he's probably going to start 8+ games for them. Although I think the leash should be very short. And if you're Brian Daboll, I think you can recognize that Jackson Dart, unlike what we were saying with Indy, where I think Daniel Jones gives them the best chance to win, I don't know if I can say that with Russell Wilson.
Because I don't know what I have in Jackson Dart.
I think Jackson Dart might actually be somebody you want to take a look at early on in the season and maybe can change your, like, frankly, save your job if you're Daboll and company. And by the way, if Dart is what I think he might be, a very serviceable quarterback in this league, then Brian Daboll will save his job as long as they don't wait till week 12 to play him.
This is like the fourth straight quarterback taken in the area of Jackson Dart, somewhere in the first round, that I think these teams are like idiotic. How is every team continuously putting themselves in the position of Jackson Dart doesn't play, coach gets fired, Jackson Dart has to get a new head coach in year two, new offense in year two, new offensive coordinator in year two? Why is this the current NFL trend? We talk all the time about, people copy good things in the league. Why is everyone following the model of, what if we draft a quarterback in the first or the second round, and then in year two, make them completely unlearn everything they learned from the guy that we just fired and learn a completely new thing instead and hope this time it works out a la Eberflus or any of the other examples?
Yeah, well, that's why the Giants should have, deep down, they should have fired their head coach and GM before the draft. But they didn't, and so that regime trying to save their job. And I think Jackson Dart's an okay pick. I don't think it's a terrible pick. The issue is you have Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, and Jackson Dart there. Someone brought up, I forgot, the Saints haven't officially named if it's Shuck or Spencer Rattler. That's the other job that I guess is still up in the air.
Okay, the other day I was kind of higher on Rattler coming out of the draft.
I just need Rattler to start the season, okay?
You got a bet on that?
No, I want to sell a couple of his cards. I just want to get rid of them. I have a couple of rookie cards that I just want to get rid of them because long term he's not going to be anything. Give me the star. Announcement as a starter. Let me sell those bad boys and let's move on with my life.
I will say, I think if Spencer Rattler started an entire year, he'd have like two games a year. You'd be like, damn, Spencer Rattler. The other 12 would be like, this is a disaster. But, like, I liked him coming out of draft because he does have, like, arm talent that you don't see out of every quarterback in the NFL. You're like, ooh, you make some cool throws, man. I do not think he's good. But Tyler Shuck, how did they end up on that pick? Like, he throws the football. Like, that one gift that people use from that, like, Lifetime movie quarterback. The one where it doesn't look like that's how Tyler Shuck throws the football in real life. I do not understand
how NFL.
I don't even know anything about I'm not even a scout. I do not know how a scout watched him play and said yes.
Because I think just like
that guy can ball.
He has some ridiculously good moments, but he also has others where he's running around and then just throws the ball underhand to the other team, and it's like, what are you doing?
The tricky part for them evaluating the QB competition is like, so the first preseason game, Tyler Shuck looked good, Rattler didn't. Second one, Rattler looked better. Their actual stats two preseason games in: Shuck 24-34. 231, a touchdown and a pick. Rattler, 25 of 35, 252, a touchdown and a pick. I mean,
incredible.
Good luck, Kellen Moore. It's year one. We all knew this was going to be ugly. Hopefully they set themselves up for their draft pick. But right in a second, I would predict that they're going to start Rattler for a couple weeks and then Shuck will end up playing. I don't know if it matters, honestly.
Who knows?
But
who knows?
They
also have a cap problem, and all their stars are old. DeMario Davis and Cam Jordan and Ivan Kamara, all of them are old.
Genuinely.
Other than Chris Olave, I guess.
Is there a least interesting... Like, okay, cool. They said, you are not allowed to watch the Chiefs for the entire year. And now we're going to do a blind draft of picks 1 through 31 of the team that you are going to get to watch every...
Oh.
Are the Saints dead last? If you had to pick one team that you do not want to see a single game from this year are the New Orleans Saints, the number
You're
one.
You're just begging
pick.
To not see him.
Dude, I'm not kidding. Please. I hope to not watch a single second of Saints football this year.
Red zone channel, baby.
I hope to not accidentally catch a Tyler Shuck touchdown in red zone. I hope that's when I'm in the bathroom. I got no interest in
Saints,
watching the
Cardinals
Saints.
Week one.
That might be the least interesting on the entire slate, the entire year. Saints, Cardinals? Ugh.
Week one.
Saints, Panthers, I guess, at some point this year.
I'm really curious. Hang on a second. I want to see what the worst game would be conceivably for you to watch with the Saints this year.
Panthers.
Panthers might actually be better than we think.
No, the Panthers will be, but I don't want to watch that game.
Saints-Jets? Saints-Titans?
Saints-Titans.
If Cam Ward's not any good, that's the one. If Cam Ward's not good.
Second to last game of the year, too, by the way.
Oh, gosh.
That game's on December 28th in Tennessee, so they're out in the cold.
I think there's Saints, a chance November 30th, Saints-Dolphins doesn't
right.
me.
You're right, though. December 21st, Jets-Saints, 3 weeks to go in the season. Justin Fields maybe is not even starting anymore at that point for the Jets.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's ugly at that
Tyler
point.
Tyler Shuck versus who's the backup in New York?
I don't even know. Jordan Travis medically retired.
Already?
Is it? Yeah, is it Mike White?
Healthy
is,
after that
is Mike
injury.
White still over there?
Oh, I have no idea.
No way.
What? Oh, wait, no. You might actually see Brady Cook play. It might be Brady Cook.
I'll just look.
He's in camp with him. Is he going to win the job? Oh, it's Tyrod Taylor. Duh.
Oh, never mind.
It's Tyrod Taylor, Adrian Martinez, and Brady Cook.
Let's go, Tyrod.
I'd rather quit football for the rest of the year than watch Tyler Shuck versus Tyrod Taylor.
Versus Tyrod Taylor.
Mm-hmm. I just if they said you cannot watch the playoffs or watch that game,
Tyrod Taylor,
I'm out. Just not watch him. Not watching Tyler Shuck versus Tyrod Taylor. Hell no. This is not all pizza's good pizza. That's just decidedly not.
That could be a pivotal. That could be a top. That could decide the number one pick in the draft.
That
right
game
there.
That game might be really good, Cody. But that game is 9-7, and you don't want to watch it.
I'd rather watch an entire season of The Real Housewives of Atlanta than watch that football game of Tyrod Taylor versus Tyler Shuck. I mean, just do not put me
that
anywhere.
That sounds like somebody that's watched an episode or two of The Housewives of Atlanta.
I haven't. I was trying to think of like a reality show that seemed
ATL, man.
And I don't even know if they're
out
doing
of all of them, he picked the Atlanta one. He didn't pick any of the other ones.
I was thinking like NFL teams, and I can't remember all the cities. If we're being honest, I've never actually seen an episode of it. Yeah. Have you?
I've seen The Real Housewives of New Jersey a couple times. I have two sisters. This thing's been. I watched this when we were all still at home. This many years
man.
Ago.
Oh, my goodness. I was like, I've never seen that show.
Oh yeah. Yep. Absolutely. One of the guys went to prison. The husband of one of the wives at one point.
Wait, is that the Chrisley people?
No, that's a whole different. That's a whole different thing.
I don't know what's going on. I don't watch a lot of reality TV or any really.
No, yeah, there's. I can still picture a couple of the episodes of that show.
Mm. Oh man, I didn't realize you were. They were at a dinner
and that she flipped over the table. Oh yeah, I remember.
Wow.
Yeah, I think one.
That sounds way more entertaining than.
I think the husband. I think the husband went to prison for a little bit for fraud or something. Anyway, up next we'll get to what's trending. Plus, our conversation with former Chiefs wide receiver Damian Hughes. We asked him what he's seen from the wide receiver group, including how he would approach Kingsley's performance this year.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAFGiving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org/advisors.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Here. Number one on what's trending, the Royals continue their series against the Rangers
good ball.
Tonight. Got the win yesterday, 4-3. Tonight, Seth Lugo. We already talked about him. They need a much better Seth Lugo tonight. 6:40 first pitch. Ferns on Deck show is at 5:30 right here on 96.5 The Fan.
So mad. I did a 3.5-1 bet on pregame yesterday. It was Bobby Wood Jr. and Vinny Pasquantino to get an RBI. Vinny hit the homer, obviously, very early in the game. Bobby came up to the dish with a runner on third and less than two outs.
That's a little bad luck.
The bet was right there.
That's a little bad luck.
Dream scenario. Couldn't even get a ground ball to get somebody home. They won the game. I was happy about that, but I was mad about my bet. Next up on What's Trending, the Pacers coach Rich Carlisle has agreed to a multi-year extension after coaching Indiana to last season's NBA Finals. Not surprising on that end. In the NBA, no job is safe. So if they're willing to give you an extension at that time, take it. Plus, there were a couple of teams last year. The finals was between teams that like had never won it or hadn't won it in a really long time. And then that was the entire conference finals. It was like Knicks and Pacers. It felt like a resurgence of a lot of teams. So sure, why not? Rick Carlisle. I don't feel like I've heard a new NBA coach name in it feels like a 50 years at this point. I know it's not that.
J.J. Redick.
But at this point, it just feels like...
He's still only a year into this thing.
Yeah, it just So many retreads. Yeah, right.
It's definitely a retread league. It definitely is. Elsewhere, we were talking already a little bit about this. A couple quarterback jobs have been resolved in the NFL for week one. Daniel Jones will start for the Colts, not Anthony Richardson. Yesterday, we learned that Flacco will start week one for the Browns. We are awaiting the Saints to announce whether it's going to be Tyler Shuck or Spencer Rattler.
Not Travis Hainer or whatever?
Tyler Travis Hainer.
Not that guy. Yeah, that's Hainer. Lastly,
Jake.
Pretty close.
Whatever.
Lastly, on what training, John Wall was announced he's officially retiring from the NBA
after
11 seasons. 34-year-old, played with the Washington Wizards, made him the first pick out of the draft out of Kentucky, as you probably remember back in 2010. He's a five-time All-Star, finished averaging 18.7 points per game, almost 9 assists per game, but said, quote, today, I'm stepping off the court, but not away from the game.
Okay.
Basketball will always be my life, and new opportunities present themselves. I now feel it's time to walk away confident into my next chapter. That's it for John Wall. He had a great NBA career. He was a man amongst boys in the college game. He definitively stood out amongst college players.
Yeah, great career. Obviously, college career, all of it.
I mean, the Wizards haven't had anybody like him since he retired.
No.
That's also a hard place to win. The Washington Wizards, I mean, it's a tough place to win.
Yeah, nobody seems to care about the team.
That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. As I said earlier today, Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, part of the Chiefs radio network. You hear him along with Mitch Holthus and Josh Klingler on 96.5 The Fan. You'll hear him Friday night as the Chiefs preseason finale against the Bears takes place out at Arrowhead. We start our conversation talking to, as we say, Mr. Yuengling now as well.
There you go, man. Yuengling is definitely in full effect. You guys saw the pictures,
yeah.
And they're going to have a big promotion deal. So I'm really, really excited and happy to be a part of it. As you know, you guys especially, probably more so than me, but I think back to my playing days where you're approached from different angles and different people. Some things, I'm a very picky eater, so it wouldn't necessarily be a relationship for any kind of food for me, unless it's a specific food that I eat all the time. But I actually have been more excited because Yuengling is a beer that I actually drink. The Yuengling Flight is my favorite beer, so it's really cool. A great shout out to Ainsley and Derek and Roxanne and everybody that made it happen with Odyssey and Jacob with Yuengling. So it's cool. I've already gotten a bunch of friends and family from Jersey. I got some former Chiefs that asked me, they want me to like drop off cases.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
On their doorstep. like, You know, my former teammates—they're always thinking about themselves. You know, that's how those guys are.
So yeah, just ignore the ones from Sean Barber. Everybody else, take care of Sean Barber. I don't know if you should.
Oh, that's automatic. I mean, I totally ignore. I block him halfway through most texts anyway, so it's all good.
Do we need to cancel the season already, Danan? The Chiefs are 0-2, so we're barreling towards 0-17. I saw people freak out over a beat down in a preseason game, and then I watched the Bills lose 33-0. I was like, do you need to know more? Or because this is not how the regular season games are going to go.
Yeah, I think more is put on the preseason. I think, here's what I will say. It goes to show you the height and level of expectations that this Chiefs team has and the Chiefs organization has set. The standard has been set so high that we actually have part of our fan base that get upset about preseason games. Like, I think there's some good in that, but then there's also some not so good in that. So I'm looking at the good side of, we have set the bar so high that there are fans that literally expect us to win every single game, practice, scrimmage, shells, shorts, every time the Chiefs take the field and there's a red helmet with the emblem on it, we're supposed to actually dominate. And to some extent, that's cool. But then you also have to have a reality check and understanding that the starters haven't played. We were 0-3 last year in the preseason and still had the best regular season record and made it to the Super Bowl. So once you start to breathe, exhale a little bit, Chiefs Kingdom, and realize that these are just practices and we have a bigger plan than most teams. There are teams out there that actually, and organizations, and more importantly, coaches and players specifically, that are leaning heavily on winning preseason games because maybe their job depends on it. And we're not in that position. So that's a luxury.
We're talking to Danan Hughes here on 96.5 The Fan. I want to get to the offensive line in a little bit, but you're a former wide receiver. So let's start with the receiving room. And who has stood out the most to you? We saw you up at camp. We certainly been talking about a few guys. Who stood out the most when you were watching some of those practices and obviously being there the last couple weeks in the preseason?
I obviously always like to look at the guys that are down on the depth chart. I mean, that was me for most of my career, being a fourth receiver, third, fourth, fifth receiver, special teams, knucklehead that made his way in the league for 6 years. So my eyes always gravitate to the Brownlees and the Thorntons that are at the bottom of that roster that are trying to clamber to that one or two possible receiving spots. I think those guys have made the best of their opportunities, but we also have to factor in assembling a roster, you guys know this, it's not so much about who's the best receiver in the preseason that can fill that fourth, fifth, or sixth slot. It could possibly be the best receiver that would be accepting of the fourth, fifth, or sixth slot and accepting and willing to participate in special teams a bulk of their time. There have been times around the NFL, not just with the Chiefs, throughout history, where the best receivers did not make the team because they would be the guys that might sulk on the sideline, might be a negative energy to the locker room because they think they should be playing more as wide receiver as opposed to accepting the role that's given to them until their opportunity presents itself. And those are the guys that you have to be able to sort through to be able to have a complete locker room for a championship effort. But those two guys at the wide receiver position, to me, I like Nico Remigio. I think he's garnered a lot of confidence, not just in his return ability, but being that guy that can be dependable as a third or fourth receiver, two-minute drill, driving down the field at the end of a half or the end of a game, and you need multiple guys on the field, Rashee Rice being suspended, who's going to be that guy that will accept that role? So I like those three that jump out to me.
Where do you rank this receiver unit on paper compared to previous years? Like, where does it fall in the midst? Now, I understand part of that is not knowing how long and when Rashee Rice could possibly be suspended, but like just on paper, the Hollywood, Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, where is it amongst Andy Reid's best or worst wide receiver units?
The jury's still out for me, and that's an honest assessment. One, we haven't played multiple games together. Like, we can look at last year and get a snapshot of what could have been, but we didn't have Hollywood Brown early in the season. When we finally got him back, he wasn't necessarily 100%. We didn't have Rashee Rice. I think they are capable, and Andy Reid has said it. This team, this wide receiving group is capable of being the best he's ever coached. That's a tall task and high praise. But I still have to see it. Like, to me, we haven't seen them in the preseason games. We haven't seen them assembled together. We haven't seen them all healthy. It's tough to look at the Legion of Zoom that won that Super Bowl in the 2019 season and say that this group is better, but I'm waiting to see that because they had a different complement. Obviously, with Tyreek Hill, you had Sammy Watkins that was a more bigger physical receiver. Like, I think that dynamic was different, but I'm excited about this wide receiving crew. If they can stay healthy and Patrick Mahomes has the confidence in him like he did with them, it's going to be something special.
Tyna Dane and Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, of course, part of the Chiefs radio network right here on 96.5 The Fan. Rashee Rice, none of us know how this is going to all play out ultimately, the timing, the length of suspension. But what's your, I guess, take on how it could impact the season? You know, are you looking at, hey, the fact that he's available, at least as of now, for week one in that first four games is a real positive? Do you think later in the year is going to be more problematic to miss him? How do you see that potentially playing out?
I think it all depends on how long the suspension is. I do believe that it is definitely a benefit for the Chiefs to have had the services of Rashee Rice since he's been cleared through OTAs, minicamp, training camp, preseason, and to know or at least have a strong feeling that you're going to have him for those first 4 weeks. That's great progression from that point. It wasn't like he was kind of hit or miss during training camp and being held out and working on the side with Rick Burkholder or whatever. He was practicing like everybody else. So it can only be a benefit from that standpoint. But if you get the hammer dropped down on an 8-game or a 10-game suspension, and now after week four, that's when the hammer drops and you're not going to see him until December and into January, that can be a whole different dynamic that we'll have to deal with. So I feel like it's a good thing to start the season off being able to have all your bullets in your chamber. But let's see how it all transpires with his appeal. And for the record, all of the idiots, and I know Nick Wright pointed some out with Pro Football Talk, like, there's a process. It is not any preferential treatment for the Chiefs. It is also not a negative to the Chiefs. There's a process in the appellate direction that you have to go through with any fine, with any suspension, and that's what he's exhausting. And I give him credit for that, because just to accept your punishment without going through that appellate process would be dumb on his part as well.
When you look at the left side of the offensive line, where's your confidence level there? We understand it was messy for a good chunk of last year when they had to bump Joe Tooney out to left tackle, an unnatural position. And now it feels like Andy is already talking about Kingsley as a guy who is, he's talking like him, like he's a rookie because he's learning left guard and outside of that. Like, How comfortable are you with the left side of the line? Do we need to give Kingsley more leeway than previous thought?
I think we definitely need to give Kingsley more leeway because he's moving interior. It might be a little easier for him. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but it's going to be a little easier for him because he's not totally out in space. And you don't have to deal with the athleticism that you have to deal with at the tackle position with all the outside linebackers and defensive ends, the talent that's at that position every single game. I was looking through the schedule last week thinking, okay, is there a time where Josh Simmons and Juwan Taylor are going to have a relatively easier week? Not easy, but easier. And there's not. They're going to face a gauntlet of outside linebackers and rushers throughout the season. And to think that Kingsley is now isolated a little bit less inside, it's going to have the help of Creed Humphrey, going to have the help of Josh Simmons on that side. I think that's going to help him. And then to think that Josh Simmons is going to come in and be Willie Rofe, that would be a misnomer. He's going to go through some growing pains. He's going to be put on skates at times, and we're just going to have to hope that Patrick is able to make plays off of that. But it's a growing process, and it's going to be a marathon, not a sprint. But I'm encouraged to have that left side be as young, as inexperienced as they are, but have garnered the confidence to the level of Andy Reid. To me, that should tell everybody in the Chiefs kingdom that we're going to be okay.
Before we let you go, I'm sure we'll talk to you before the start of the season, but are you and Mitch working on some Portuguese already for week one in Brazil?
I'm sure Mitch is. You know how he is. He's got everything down. So I would not be surprised to hear anything in that opening part of the broadcast or throughout the broadcast from Mitch that is in Portuguese. For me, I'm just trying to master the English language. Like, I'm still a work in progress, fellas. So, but we're going to have fun. It's going to be exciting. A long trip. The one thing you can guarantee that Josh Klingler and I will sleep most of the
I remember trip. From the Germany trip, you. I heard you slept the entire way.
I slept 10 and a half hours of the 11 hours going and 9.5 hours of the 11 hours
That's
coming back.
Perfect.
So it's an art that I've definitely mastered, and I plan on applying that when we're going to Brazil. So, but I'm excited about it. A interdivision rival that we're going to play over there. It should be fun.
Yeah, a couple weeks away. That was Danon Hughes joining us earlier today. He, of course, will be in Brazil, as we were asking about that in a few weeks when the Chiefs open up against the Chargers, and very jealous of his airplane sleeping habits. Don't forget, if you want to hear Danon and Mitch talking about the start of the season, the Red Roundtable event is taking place on Friday, August 29th. That's a week from this Friday out at Hollywood Casino. It starts at 6 o'clock. It's completely free, open to the public. You just got to be 21 or older. It is at a casino. Q&A plus meet and greet to follow. A great opportunity to meet those guys and obviously learn a little bit more about the 2025 season for the Chiefs.
So Matt Nagy spoke today about the left side of the line too, which we obviously asked Danon about. And he said, I'm feeling pretty good about it. He's like, a lot of credit to those guys, but it's tough because in press conference situations, Andy and Nagy and those guys tend to be like, not the ultimate optimist, but you know, like they are usually pretty complimentary of where those guys are. Scale of 1 to 10. I'm probably like a 6 on the left side of the line in the total confidence I have in it. Doesn't mean it could go good or bad, but like until I see some actual play, and there's like I could definitely get lower before the season starts. There's no way I'm getting any higher than a 6. That's about my maximum level of confidence I'm willing to have going in, not knowing where Kingsley is and watching the bad pass blocking in these first couple of preseason games.
Yeah.
And Simmons looks like the goods, but it's still an unknown.
If I broke it down by player, I would say for Simmons, I'm like a 7.5. Leaning towards 8 by the time we get to week 1,
Kingsley,
I bet.
Like a 4.
And Kingsley, yeah, it's like a 4 or 5. Exactly. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at for the left side. I don't think I'm going to be worrying about Josh Simmons much this year. Kingsley, we'll see. Run blocking looks great. Pass blocking is a little bit of an adventure. And, you know, the way Andy has talked about it as well, it sure seems like they're viewing it as almost like a rookie type season for him. And yes, it's a new position, but even, you know, you heard from Danon there, like, you know, the bar should be lowered, I guess, of what we expect for Kingsley. Yeah. Now, I would argue, you don't have to have a lower bar. You can say, hey, dude, you were drafted in the second round and you're giving another time to perform. I'll give him a week. Like, honestly, I'll give him a week in the season. But by week 3, if we're like, oh, this is, if he becomes a liability again,
go.
Jalen Moore or Caliendo time. That's where I'll be. I'll give him a week or so, because I think that is how you should operate. It's a long year. It's about building up for the playoffs. If you think his upside is still much better,
just because you
that.
Get beat up by the Eagles.
But how about in the preseason game on Friday night? Play him an extra series. You know, get him some reps.
Well, I think the fact that they play against the Chargers and the Eagles, like, these are the teams that you're caliber-wise, you're going to have to face if you're going to go to a Super Bowl anyway. So if he can't do it through 2 weeks, then, man, why should we think that you'll be able to do it in 15 more when it gets down to the first week of the playoffs?
We only got a couple more minutes left in the show. I was trying to talk Alex into a bet, Drew.
Oh, yeah?
Downstairs right now on our front desk in the main office area.
Okay.
There currently exists a Kansas City, I believe it said on the top, a Kansas City Hooters uniform. Don't know why it's there. It's just there.
And
the general rule of thumb is like, it's kind of like it's a grab all. If there are things on the front desk in our building, it's first come, first serve, whoever would like it. I said him and Carrington should do a bet on Missouri or Kansas. Loser has to wear it on the video.
100%. Yes.
No chance.
Yes.
Not wearing a Hooters outfit.
Yes.
For a regular season college football game.
Well, you're not getting a postseason college game between the two of them.
I know, for a regular season. I made a bet last year with you. You can't say I won't make bets with Carrington over rivals. I made a bet last year. Remember, I wore a Missouri Letterman's jacket. Uh-huh. That disgusting
thing.
But
this one's free of charge.
See,
you don't even have to
free of charge.
Hang on. I didn't have to pay
for the other one either.
Cody, is this like the crop top? I mean, is this like?
Yes. Carrington said absolutely not.
Carrington.
No. Hope you guys have a good rest of the day. The drive with CDOT, not wearing a Hooters uniform, is up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.